one thing that was not announced about Doug is to have surgery Monday. And so it probably be, it may be in the afternoon. We don't know for sure. He'll know Friday. And he may be probably staying overnight with it. Are you hearing me? You want me to talk? Do what? You want to go up? Okay. We'll see how that is. When I raise it up too much, I get a feedback on my little bit. But I can live with that. Well, it's good to be back. It's been a little while since I've been have taught, and so it's good to be back teaching again a little bit. We're going to start Judges tonight. And we'll do the introduction, and hopefully, it depends how well the introduction goes through, but I plan on starting really chapter 1 come Sunday. It's nice to have all these other people come around, get you set up, everything like that. I do like that part because of most of this stuff I have already forgotten how to do it. All right. Why study Judges? You ever thought about that? It's in the Old Testament. Imagine most, like most of us, I don't know that much about Judges, and I haven't done that much. Sherry? If you want me to speak up, you're going to have to speak up. I can't hear you.
It is a cycle where the people were disobedient and the judges had to bring them back under command.
Okay, it's a cycle. What happened in the book before Judges, which is what? All right, what happened in Joshua? To what? Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't all conquered yet.
What were they to do? As you said, they weren't all conquered. What were they to do? How many?
All of them.
Okay. And when we get into the first chapter of Judges, we're going to find out that that didn't happen with it. And we'll talk about some of that in the introduction. But Joshua is the one that took over from Moses, and he's to bring the people in. And he's the, what you call, military leader. He's taken over, and he is to bring the children of Israel into the promised land. God had made a promise to them. You come to this land, it's going to be flowing with milk and honey. And but there's one thing. You got to be obedient about it. It's... Go ahead. Right. Good point. Right there. I'm glad you saw that. All right. When in the 7th or 8th century, the book of Judges, actually it wasn't, I don't know if it was written in the 7th and 8th century. We'll talk about that later. But this is from the Truth for Today commentary, and I thought it was a good point. Written in the 7th or 8th century B.C., the book of Judges is a historical account of the lives of God's people. We're talking about the chosen people. Judges offers a four-part outline of Israel's history, which is the time of Joshua, the time of the elders after Joshua, the time of the judges, and the time before Israel had any king. So we're talking about a period of time. And in the first chapter, it talks about the death of Joshua. But when we get in and start studying about Judges, you're going to have a lot of encounters that Joshua did that's going to be brought about or talked about in Judges. So, it may say, all right, at the time of Joshua's death, but Joshua's going to be a big count in Judges. And I think that's one of the reasons that it's difficult to set the time of when this was written was because it's not in chronological order. We'll find that out that there's going to be, and then they'll talk about such and such died and this took the place and everything. It's really kind of difficult to, as you go into it, to find out when it really was written. But after Joshua, we have elders that will actually take over. Then you will have the judges comes in, and right before the king comes, this is the period of time. So somewhere around the death of Joshua and before Saul is the first king, is this period of time that Judges is talking about. Judges exhibits the tragic outcome of a willingness to live with evil. Think about that. The children of God have a willingness to live with evil. And that was one of the problems that they ran into when they came in and didn't kill everybody. Why did God want them all killed? He wanted them destroyed because of their evilness. Rose?
The word influence comes to mind because I knew that their pagan practices, as Sherry alluded to, would corrupt the children of Israel.
And?
And they allowed them to.
And we will find out, too. And how long did it take?
Not long.
One generation.
Once the righteous generation was gone.
One generation.
Yeah, they were down the path.
Do you think we've learned anything?
Apparently not.
We'll talk about some more of that a little bit later on. Just as the Israelites struggled during the time of the judges, many Christians today are experiencing a slow but steady rejection of God as they gradually accept what was once considered immoral and ungodly. In this way, Judges may be the most relevant book in the Bible for God's people to consider as we live in our contemporary culture. Think about that. Look at our country, our world today, how it is, how the influence of evil has come about, and how it has grown. And we live in among evilness. And in, like he had talked about before, their willingness, because they would not utterly destroy the evil, the Canaanites. They slowly were overcome with the evilness. Instead of them taking care and doing the right thing, or having a great influence on that, evil had a better influence upon them. Goodness did not. They disobeyed God's law from the very beginning when they didn't come in and utterly destroy them. And you'll see what happened because they disobeyed God. What happened to the people, the chosen people, with it. So you look at this and you go, when we study Judges, the application is for us today. There's some strong points in there for us to learn about these things. And that's the reason I think Judges is really a good book for us to study. Pax? Yes.
Said, no, you go to the mountains and we're going to go in the valley and they throw
them. That's right. That's true. It's very true. I found in Deuteronomy, the third first chapter, verses 19 to 21, it says, "Now, therefore, write down this psalm for yourselves." Now, this is God speaking to his children. "And teach it to the children of Israel." Now, here's the thing. You teach it to your children. "Put it in their mouths that this psalm may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. When I have brought them to the land flowing with milk and honey, of which I swore to their fathers, and they have eaten and filled themselves and grown fat, then they will turn to other gods and serve them, and they will provoke me and break my covenant. Then it shall be, when many evils and troubles have come upon them, that this song will testify against them as a witness. For it will not be forgotten in the mouths of their descendants. For I know the inclination of their behavior today, even before I have brought them into the land of which I swore to give them. God knew what was going to happen before it happened. And he tells them now, he tells them in Deuteronomy here, he says, now, I want you to write this down. I want you to teach the children these things. Something tells me they didn't do it. It was written down, but they didn't teach the children. And what happened with them? They grow fat. Prosperity. And what out? They turn to other gods and serve them. And they will provoke me, but they break my commandment. My commandments that I gave them. I taught them, told them. They knew what was going to happen. I knew what was going to happen. That's what I tell them to write down. In Judges 2:10, after Joshua and the generation of the conquest passed on, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. They didn't know anything what God had done for them. Took them out of Egypt, out of bondage. They wandered around in the wilderness for 4 years because of their sake. But he said, look, the promise was still there. A land, a promised land for you. But now you got a generation that doesn't even know anything about it. Now how do you expect them to act if they don't know God? If you don't do your duty to teach them what you should have done, they become part of the world. That's what has happened. They let the world come into them. It came into the God's chosen people. It coming into the church today. Because we don't teach about it. We don't talk about it. We don't teach our children that God has commandments that we must obey. God is supreme. This God that we're talking about knew way beforehand what they were going to do. That's the same God that you and I serve today. Do you not think he knows? That's the one of the very good things about studying the Old Testament. You see God in action. God doesn't speak to me directly through inspiration or thing, but I have his word. He's already laid it out for me. It's up to me to learn his commandments and his wills. And it's up to me to obey those commandments, which the children of Israel did not. God had told them beforehand, you utterly destroy these people or they're going to harm you. They're going to destroy you. Get rid of evil. It needs not be among you. That's what he's telling them. Any other questions or comments? Cherry, first.
In Acts 13:19, it says, when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land as an inheritance, all of which took about 450 years.
Okay. Yes. Psycho.
Well, I was also struck by the fact that for all of their disobedience, when their ills came upon them, which they justly deserved, and they returned to God, he gave them mercy. even though they didn't really deserve it, he still gave them mercy. And he was going to accomplish what his will was. He was going to see that it was done. So that's one of the things I contemplated that the book shows us that even though we don't deserve it, God still gives us his mercy. Of course, for us, it's through his Son. But he sent them deliverers to help them, to show his love for his people.
He showed them a number of times, and when we go through Judges, you'll see that. A number of times, the Judges leads them out, and then they fall right back into it. It's continued. Prosperity comes around, they get fat, they grow, and they turn to other gods and do evil. Then he sends them another judge and gets them out of trouble. And it goes right back again, over and over again with that. The name Judges, this book, like the other Old Testament, takes its name from the subject which it chiefly relates. The exploits of those judges who ruled Israel in the time between the death of Joshua and the rise of Samuel. All right. When we say judges here, what are we talking about? Anybody?
They're not judges like we talk about judges. Not no legal sense.
I'm at. What's wrong with your voice? You sound worse than I did. All right, when you think of judges today, what do you think about?
Courts.
Okay. Now, that's not what these judges did. Basically, they were military leaders. They were leaders for them. They weren't in court. Yeah, Doug?
They were appointed by God to execute the judgment of God.
Right. They weren't elected. People didn't choose. God raised them up with it. And so when you see the term judges that we use here in the book, we're talking about mainly military leaders to help to bring the people out of oppression, to lead them away. They didn't do too well at times. So God had to raise up a leader for them. A judge, he's called. But they're not in court or anything like this. God erases them up. Now, the date. Good luck. That's all I can tell you. You can look at every commentator or people that have written anything about it, and it got different dates. I will just say, well, listen, and it's the same for the altar. Who's the altar? Well, don't really know. All basically that tells me is that's not the highlight of Judges, when it was written and who the author is. The highlight is the message. And God has a message for us to understand that disobedience to God gonna bring us a heap of trouble. We'll find out. But some of them say the 7th or 8th century. I think it's personally a little bit for that, but that's neither here nor there. I don't really know. And most people think that Samuel is the writer. Maybe. I don't really know. The Jewish tradition has it out of Talmud that Samuel was a writer. And you see it in some other periods of time that they think that Samuel wrote that at that particular time was the writer of it. Very well may be. But God didn't reveal it to us. And so from that standpoint, I'm just saying it's not the highlight. The message is to highlight. And the message is an application that you and I could use today with it. There are certain characteristics of it. The people would enjoy God's blessing for a time. We talk about that. But in their prosperity, they forgot God. They turned to adultery and soon thereafter found themselves enslaved by hostile pagans. God then sent a judge, a military leader, somebody to help to deliver them out. A leader, a deliverer. And the subsequent ease and prosperity initiated the same cycle again, over and over again. Repetition. It means you really didn't learn history. What the problem is. History is important. And it's good for us to look at the Old Testament and look at God's chosen people, how they would serve Him and how they didn't serve Him. And I think if you look at it from that standpoint, it can help us out in our daily walks of life. When things were going good and you're obeying God, that's one thing. But when you disobey Him and things turn bad, evil, that's something else. So why not go for the good and obey God? Now, Judges is not mentioned very many times, I think. So there are less than 10 references in the New Testament to the book of Judges. Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah are named in Hebrews 11:32. Paul also mentioned the judges in Acts 13, verse 20, but he made no comment whatever concerned them. This relative silence of the New Testament regarding the book of Judges should not be viewed as a downgrade of its importance. As we go through it, and hopefully we can bring it out to you a little bit more, especially for us in our day and time and application for us, Judges is an important book. I really think so. I have not really done then my due diligence in time and forwards on it, but it's a good book for some of, if you read it alone, it can help you out in a lot of things. And like I said, you see God in action. When they do evil, what does God do? So, take that to heart. Pax? Yes. Yeah, Pax was talking about the different judges. you're going to learn some good things and you're going to learn some bad things about them. They weren't all good. There are some bad things too, but there are some good points too with it, from the standpoint as a leader. So as we go through the book of Judges, we hope we bring some of these qualities and points out too. Judges is really not about the men, it's say, are really full of that, but it really has to look at obedience to God. Really, if you really want to get to the next chapter, obedience to God. Judges has a purpose. The purpose of the author of Judges was to enforce the truth that to forget the commandments of God and to drip into social and domestic relations with the pagan Canaanite was simply to invite disaster. It really was. The commandments of God, they forgot. They literally forgot. Gideon stated that the main purpose of the book of Judges was not that of providing any kind of chronological narrative of Israel history for its own sake. That's not its purpose. Nor that of giving a record of the achievements of their great men, but that the purpose was to use the records of those events to educe religious warnings and instruction and to exhibit the divine judgment against adultery and sin, conveying the lesson that disobedience and rebellion could not fail to entail disastrous consequences. To bring out religious warnings, the people were warned about this. Remember, God back in Deuteronomy told them, said, "This is what you're going to do. You're going to break my commandments, and it's not going to be good." Well, if you and I break the commandments of Christ and His teaching and the laws, it's not going to be good for us. Will we get our punishment on this earth? Not necessarily. But there is a reward when we die. You know, I had talked about the rich man and Lazarus, an indication there. The rich man had everything on this world. He had everything. He had all kinds of riches. I mean, he was very prosperous, very wealthy. But when he died, they just said he died. Where Lazarus didn't have anything. He was a beggar. But when he died, angels came and got him. There's a difference. And there's a big difference. Hopefully we can see some of these things when we study Judges about obeying God. The failure of Israel to drive out the Canaanites. In describing the repeated apostasy and subsequent invasions and oppressions of Israel, it was necessary to establish the reason why God allowed such treatment of the chosen people. That reason was the failure to obey God's instruction regarding driving out the corrupt pagan nations of Canaan. The conquest of Canaan under Joshua was a success, but in the failure of the Israelites to make a complete destruction of the pagan inhabitants, the door was left open for all of the trouble that came upon Israel in the time of the judges. When you leave a door open, which means the evil can come in, or if you want to have in on the inside, think you're going to be protected because you're inside, but you leave a door open, you're not protected. And that's what happens is when you do not obey God's will, you let the door open. And when you leave a door open, you might as well open the gates, the flood wall. I mean, it floods in. Evil comes in. It overtakes it. Thus, all of the 12 tribes utterly fail to obey the divine injunction regarding the extermination of the pagan population of Canaan. We'll find out in the first chapter. And the completeness of that failure is emphasized by the retelling here in the first chapter of Judges. This shameful lapse on the part of Israel was loaded with terrible consequences. Not only did the Israelite associate with the residual pagan elements of Canaan, they made them slaves for them. They began to intermarry with them. They indulged in the worship of the fertility gods with its shameful lasciviousness. They forgot God and in time just became as evil as the Canaanites who God has driven out before them. This is God's chosen people. Became just as evil as the Canaanites. It can happen to you and I. Keep the door shut. We'll start chapter 1. Sunday morning. Thank you.